Hi there, welcome to another episode of Dangerous But Good. This is a conversation I've really been looking forward to. Jack McClintley.
How are you, sir?
I'm very good, thanks, man. I'm very good. Yeah, absolutely. And Heritage Day is coming up, and we thought we'd just jump into that. Heritage is such an interesting thing. It can divide or it can unite. And we're talking about heritage in a sense of how do we find commonality? How do we eliminate polarization, eliminate hatred, eliminate tribalism, but at the same time, celebrate it? And, you know, I think Jack's an ideal person to talk about this. Jack, you know, the three big things that every human being seeks. One is identity. Mm-hmm. One is a sense of belonging. And one is a sense of legitimacy. Mm. And all of those are very tied up in culture, heritage, history, past. And South Africa is so complicated, man. We were just talking now, you know, we've got 11 official languages, but within each of those, there's different nuances. We've got so many different cultures. And someone said an interesting thing, you know, they said one man's heritage is another man's trauma. Mm. And that's so true. You know, you get the Groot Trek, the big trek, which, you know, people celebrate as this amazing, brave, you know, pilgrimage into them, but then other people see it as, you know, someone coming to conquer me.
Yeah.
You see the same with American Columbus, you know, celebrating Columbus Day, but for some it's the discovery of a land that had already been occupied.
You know? Exactly. I mean,
so there's really mixed feelings about that. And in South Africa, it's just a fascinating context, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest mistakes we make as humanity is to overlook some of the work that these groups did together. So in the Cape of Good Hope, at that time, the people that populated that area were the Khoisan. Mm-hmm. And when you do a little bit of digging into history, what you'll discover is there was a level of communication and understanding between the Dutch and the Khoisan.
Right.
And when you consider just how different the languages and the cultures are, for them to find commonality at that time is nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah.
And if we overlook those moments, we stand to continuously be at odds with one another.
Right.
And I think with us celebrating Heritage Month now, I think this is the perfect time for us to dig into the history. Mm-hmm. Understand where we come from, understand where we worked together, understand where we were in opposition of one another, and see how we can find that commonality one more time.
It's a great point. I mean, and I think the commonality is rooted in humanity, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're a human being, I'm a human, we all are human beings. Mm. And that's what makes us need to work together. You know, the ability to celebrate someone else's differences, celebrate them, respect them, honor them. No less than yours, no better than yours, equal but different.
Yeah.
Is such a beautiful quality. I personally think in South Africa, you know, in the day-to-day living of most people, I mean, we are really getting it right, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
I mean, the number of interactions you see in South Africa of just totally different cultures, different, just really getting on, enjoying each other. We have to celebrate that, don't we?
We do. And, you know, South Africa is very interesting for multiple reasons. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there are phrases that we all use that cut across all languages.
Eta, how's it?
You know, excuse my language, but futsek.
Futsek, yeah.
Is a term that all of us use.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether you are black or white, or you are being chased by a hound or whatever. A lot of us just naturally just say that.
Futsek.
Yeah. And if we look at those moments, more than the unfortunate moments that come across, I think we stand to understand one another a lot better.
Right.
And what I've recently discovered, thanks to social media platforms like TikTok, there are large groups of people that speak languages that you wouldn't immediately ascribe to them.
Right.
So there's this video I saw the other day on TikTok. There's this young white couple. They sit on the couch and they're talking about how all South Africans love KFC. The interesting thing is they were speaking in fluent Xhosa. You know?
Fantastic.
And those kind of moments are the ones that we should celebrate. mm-hmm. and uplift. Because, as you said earlier on, from day to day, we interact with one another so easily.
And beautifully. You know, we were at this Christmas in July mm-hmm. event in Parkhurst, and walking down the street. And I mean, just sipping wine and stuff. And just, it was absolutely beautiful to see the interaction. And we were about to go home, and we heard this jazz band playing.
Mm.
My wife and I went across the jazz band, and we just ended up having the most beautiful 2 hours.
Yeah.
There was a mixed group of people dancing. And there was this couple from Potchefstroom, really Afrikaans couple.
Mm.
There was a couple of young black girls who hadn't, you know, dancing, teaching them different dances. We ended up in this incredibly mixed group of different heritage, different cultures, different languages, dancing together to this jazz band.
Mm.
And the music was, and it was just, I mean, that is really what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's celebrating each other and enjoying each other and being able to teach each other. It can be so beautiful.
Yeah, it can. Definitely. I there isn't a single thing I'd disagree with there. Yeah.
But now culture is an interesting thing, isn't it? Because culture, we automatically almost give culture a sacred status.
Mm.
And yet culture can be wrong and brutal.
Yeah.
You know, you think of female genital mutilation, which is ascribed to a culture. And you got to say, well, you know, some cultures go horribly wrong, don't they? Mm. Horribly wrong.
Mm.
So we need to, and it's evolving too, isn't it? Culture evolves, you know. I mean, if I look at myself as a white, English-speaking South African, you know, some would say we don't have culture, you know. I mean, it's like it's,
some.
Some would, and, you know, it's a mixed mash of here and there, you know, marriage ceremonies are certain, you know.
Mm.
There's really a mix of it all. And there's certain things that different cultures have adopted from other cultures. And,
yeah.
And that's the beauty, isn't it? We learn from each other. But going back to where it can go horribly wrong, I think what unifies South Africa in many ways is we have a common Bill of Rights, a common constitution, which is rooted in humanity and a respect and a love for each other.
Yeah.
It's rooted in non-racism, non-discrimination. And I mean, that's a beautiful unifying factor, isn't it?
Mm. And I think when we examine history, the time that we're in right now could arguably be the most peaceful time we've had in this country.
Yeah.
You go all the way back to some of the dynasties that were established in what we now call South Africa. You had the Zulu kingdom, you had the Sotho speaking kingdom. And there was a time of warfare that is often referred to as Mfecane, where you had different groups within the Zulu kingdom that were at odds with one another. And the disbursement of certain people led to the development of new languages and cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And people like Soshangan came to the fore. And he played a large part in establishing the language that we now consider Tsonga.
Right.
Right? And it's our cultures are a breathtaking reflection of our adaptability and how we move forward even in the face of insurmountable odds.
Right.
Right. And I think at this point in time, if there's one thing that I would love for South Africans as a collective, in terms of our heritage, what I'd love for us to do is to put all of these things into context and put them together in such a way that it tells one beautiful story from start to finish. And let's be honest, the greatest movies we ever watch have got disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
They've got moments where even the person we feel to be the hero in the movie disappoints us.
Right. Has flaws.
They have flaws, just like any other human being on earth. And I think if we look at our history and our heritage from that vantage point, I think we are better off as a people because A good example of how well things can go when we work together is Fanagalo.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an official language anywhere.
Right, yeah, a mishmash of so many.
It's a mishmash of everything that the migrant miners decided to put together.
Right.
And it's still spoken in 2024.
Yes, yes.
That is a good indication of just how well we can get things right.
With a combination of everything we bring to the party.
Precisely.
Yeah. I mean, I had the privilege of schooling in Botswana at a school called Maruapula.
Mm.
And at that point, it was probably the most, I would imagine, the most multicultural school in the world.
Mm.
We had people from the USA, Canada, Europe, Russia, even China, throughout Africa, you know.
Mm.
That was during the apartheid era. In fact, it was a school set up by a guy who wanted to set up a multiracial school in South Africa, wasn't allowed to, went to Botswana to set up the school. And Jack, exactly that what you're talking about happened there. You know, there was not enough of any one particular group to actually form a group.
Mm.
You had to just get, and I mean, it was just such a beautiful mishmash of humanity, all bringing their own different flavors and, you know, nuances and,
yeah,
and just creating a new way of doing, like Fanagalo, what you're, yeah, saying. And I think that's, you know, I love the way this conversation is going. We're talking about our heritage, but we're also talking about our current state,
mm,
and the richness that everyone brings. And let's be honest, you know, there's richness and there's also devastation.
Mm.
You know, those wars you talked about prior to a European even setting foot in this country.
Yeah.
There was brutality, there was war, there was conflict. The entire world has had that. You know?
But that's just, it's an unfortunate part of the human condition.
Yeah, yeah.
I often bring up the fact that if I, right now in 2024, mm-hmm, were to travel to Northern Africa, I would have to be inoculated for certain things.
Right.
I wouldn't be just able to just randomly travel across the continent. So when unfortunate things like slavery happened, you had to have African collaborators who were able to, yeah, go inland and bring those, mm-hmm, slaves to,
yeah,
the shore, right?
Yeah.
And as unfortunate of a reality that is, we can't just overlook it, yeah, and make it seem as if there was this great white spear or gun that showed up and just, mm-hmm, split everything apart.
Right.
There's a part in every single human being, yeah, that has the capacity to be compassionate and great, but at the same time to be malevolent and, yeah, horrible to one another. And I think we are better off just making use of both of those things. Right. It's about being dangerous but good.
Well, I think the point you make there is very important for us to stick around there for a while. You know, I think Saul Sillinson said that the line between good and evil runs through the heart of every man and every woman, of every tribe, every nation, every culture, every ethnicity, every religion. You know, no human being is immune to having the capacity for evil and, mm, the capacity for good. And I think we all need to own up to our ancestors' miscreants,
yeah,
and our ancestors' excellence.
You know? Mm-hmm.
I mean, in each one of our DNA is a rich heritage of heroism,
yeah,
but also a rich heritage of villainy. Every single culture, every single people group, you know, you go far back enough, you're going to find one of our ancestors behaving abominably,
mm,
and you're going to find other of our ancestors behaving virtuously.
Mm.
And I think if we own up as humanity to that, mm, we can forgive each other, we can love each other, we can learn from each other, and we can build together. And I think that's a great point you raised there.
And I mean, we do it, we get along a lot more often than we don't get along.
Very much so.
You know, it's when you brought up your experience at school, I started getting flashbacks of my experience at school. Mm-hmm. So I started primary school in 1995, mm-hmm, which was the dawn of a new South Africa. And as a child, I had no understanding of what apartheid, mm-hmm, was. And the idea that I wasn't supposed to look at white people this, mm-hmm, way or what. I just went into class, mm-hmm, and Sean was there.
Yeah, you saw a dude who you made friends with.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right next to Sean was Mfundo. Ashin was behind me.
Lovely, man.
We had, you know, a mixed bag,
yeah,
of individuals. Yeah. And by the time I got to matric, the diversity had naturally increased, mm-hmm, because of socioeconomic factors. But,
right,
what did not change was the fact that all of us saw each other as individuals and we would learn from one another.
Lovely.
There's this friend of mine, Byron Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So his helper at home was a Sotho speaking, mm-hmm, woman. And I discovered that he could speak fluent Sotho, mm-hmm, in the coolest way ever. So a couple of my friends and I were just sitting there having a chat, and Byron showed up and he just called BS on what we were talking about. And naturally, I mean, when you're 9, 10 years old, it doesn't cross your mind that a white person would be able to speak a vernacular language. So we all kind of raised our eyebrow like, hey, what is this guy? How could you actually know what we're talking about? Yeah. And that conversation took a very different turn because now we could code switch between English and Sotho. And I love the fact that the school that I went to, I'm a Kes boy, by the way, they offered Zulu in the same way as they offered Afrikaans.
Right.
Our medium of instruction was English, but from the moment we were in grade R up until grade 10, you had to do all three languages. So by the time we got to matric, you might not have been fluent in Zulu, but we certainly couldn't whisper about you without you understanding what we're talking about.
You had
about,
to be careful.
Eh? Right? And with how global the world is now, we could either lose what makes us so unique if we do not lean into our shared heritage, or we could double down and turn ourselves into the rainbow nation that our liberation fighters were actually trying to build.
Exactly, exactly. Well, and that's exactly what they fought for. Hey?
Yeah.
They fought for unity. They fought for non-racialism. They fought for multiculturalism.
Right.
But essentially humanity, which is enshrined in our constitution. So, Jack, it goes wrong, doesn't it, when we feel superior or inferior to others.
True.
So we say, my tribe is the best. My tribe is superior or inferior, you know. I mean, Steve Biko said the most profound thing. He said the greatest weapon of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. Mm. So it can cut both ways, can't it? It can cut, I feel superior to you or I feel inferior to you.
Yes.
And both of those are terribly wrong. Because if I feel inferior, it's going to affect everything I do. If I feel superior, it's going to affect everything. And neither of those is true. You know, there is no such thing as a superior human being. There's definitely superior behavior and superior values. You know, I mean, as Martin Luther King said, you know, I want my kids to be judged on the basis of their character. And the character is anyone has the choice of how they care, not to do with culture, skin, anything like that.
Yeah.
So we need to move to that, don't we? You know?
Yeah, and it's such a beautiful rhythm to dance to.
It is.
There's like Mandoza's Ngalagata is one of those unbelievable examples of how the inferiority or superiority complex disappears and we all just celebrate.
Right.
There's so many of these different moments that we can look at and say, you weren't Zulu that day, you weren't Sotho that day, you weren't English that day, you were South African that
Fantastic.
Day.
Fantastic.
You know, the Springboks in their recent triumphs are another great example of that.
Beautiful example of the rainbow.
Yes. I don't see Siya Kolisi or
Oxenche
or Henry Pollard as these random people. No, they are the Springboks. They are the South African national rugby team.
Brothers in arms.
They represent me as much as they represent you or anyone else in this country.
Yeah.
And that in 100 years from now will be our shared heritage.
Yeah.
And those, as I said earlier on, those are the moments that we need to prop up and remind ourselves that, hey, man, we may have a tumultuous and very difficult history. And it gave birth to a lot of different things because of how resilient we are as a people. But let's not shun our history.
Let's
not look down on it. Let's prop it up. Let us be proud. Let's wear it as a badge of honor that even though we were at each other's throats at one point in time, look at what we've done with it.
It's phenomenal. It's miraculous and it's beautiful. Don't you also love the different gifts that different people groups bring?
You know,
if you look at athletes, you know, you look at the Kenyan and Ethiopian, they just dominate the long distance
running.
That's beautiful. You know, for us to celebrate the particular talents and gifts that particular people group have. And I think we all bring that, you know. I mean, if you're going back to the Springboks, I mean, you see those three Zulu warriors coming on.
I mean,
the one guy, man. I mean, that guy is, I wouldn't want to meet him. I mean, that guy is huge.
He is.
But isn't it beautiful when you get the different flavors coming together? You know, you think about the world. You know, the world is unbelievably diverse. Mm. You know, I've got this little place in the garden where I sit every morning and birds come. You know, I feed them. And you just look at the variety of birds. Just,
yeah.
I mean, if it was just one dove that came, how boring would that be?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, but the fact that there's this incredible variety is just, and people's the same, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we have that unique gift in South Africa. Unbelievable diversity, and it's incredibly beautiful.
Right. And it's, you look at the environment mm-hmm. that we come from. Mm-hmm. So for argument's sake, the people who are part of the Venda mm-hmm. and Tsonga culture
yes.
in Limpopo, because of the biodiversity in Limpopo, you've got different colored flowers all over mm-hmm. the place. And as people, we reflect our environment, right. which is why when you bump into a Tsonga lady, mm-hmm. she's got colors all over the place. Nice. When you bump into a Venda lady, she's got colors all mm-hmm. over the place. And when you look at where a lot of Afrikaner people in our country settled, the shrubbery mm-hmm. and the greens and the browns, you see it in how they mm-hmm. dress as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so many different signals that we put out into the world.
We reflect our environment.
Precisely.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's beautiful to see.
It is beautiful. And I think, you know, going back to biodiversity, South Africa is so blessed in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we traveled to New Zealand recently, and it's interesting that there's not a single thing that can kill you there. not a poisonous snake, And in some ways it's very peaceful, but in other ways it's quite boring, you know. I mean,
yeah.
we're edgy here, aren't we? I mean, you walk through the bush in South Africa, man. I mean, you're taking your life in your hands. There are many things that can do you in.
There's a lot to look out for.
There's a lot to look out for, and it creates an edginess, doesn't it?
Mm.
You know, an exhilaration, an excitement, which is absolutely beautiful. So, I mean, how do we this Heritage Month? You know, it's so crucial to, as you say, celebrate where we come from, you know, where I come from, where you come from. And there's such intersectionality too, isn't there?
Yeah.
And there's such an evolution. But if you go right back to the roots, it's important for us to acknowledge and to see and to understand that, but not to get stuck on that, not to say that, you know, that is the way and anyone else who doesn't do it that way is wrong or bad or less than. It's such a crucial thing to say, to celebrate who I am without denigrating who you are.
Precisely.
I mean, that's the key, isn't it?
It's so interesting when you dig into the history of Heritage Day. Mm-hmm. Pre-1990, it was Shaka Zulu Day.
Shaka Zulu Day, yeah.
So you're telling me it's one of the most racist organizations, mm-hmm. even within their racism, mm-hmm. realized, okay, we're going to have to give these people something yeah. to celebrate.
Yeah, yeah.
That is an acknowledgement of their humanity. As repulsive and, you know, we'll find all types of ways to describe the apartheid government. But even within that mess, to say, okay, we need a Shaka Zulu Day.
Right.
That fast forward 30, 40 years, all of us celebrate the same way.
Yeah.
I know I'll be braying on the 24th of September.
Nice.
Yeah. I imagine all of us will be doing the same day.
Absolutely. It's unifying.
We all call it Braai Day.
We do.
South Africa is the only country that refers to what we call a braai as a braai. Everyone else is barbecue
or cookout.
Or whatever. But South Africa is braai.
And we love our meat.
Oh my goodness, we do.
And we've got good meat.
Yep.
We've got good meat.
Mm.
Very much so.
Yeah, we're a good stock of human absolutely. Beings. Yeah. We really are.
Yeah, we said, look, I tell you what, you know, years ago, you used to hear about the hospitalities of different nations and that South Africa wasn't that hospitable. I tell you what, I've come back from overseas many, many times. You see the smile on people's faces when they greet you.
Mm.
You see the greetings, you see the banter, and it's absolutely beautiful, isn't it? I mean, our level of love, hospitality. I often think that South Africans are some of the deepest people in the world because we've had to deal with such shit, eh? I mean, we've dealt with incredible trauma, but we've come through it.
Mm.
And because of that, because we've dealt with so much, there's a depth to us, eh? There's a depth to our character, there's a resilience, and there's a beauty. You're very much a glass half full kind of character, aren't you, Jack?
I love it.
Me too. And you know, we've got so much to celebrate.
We do.
So much commonality to celebrate, you know, in terms of who we are and where we've come from and where we're going.
I think about how I grew up. So the structure of my family from a linguistic standpoint, mm-hmm. my paternal grandparents spoke Bedi, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
My maternal grandparents were Tsonga and Sotho. So just in my DNA, I've got those three mm-hmm. cultures that mix and match
right.
to make me who I am. So in the house, we had to learn those three languages and navigate them and speak to our grandparents that way. The moment we step out of the house, we would then bump into a Zulu-speaking person, a Venda-speaking right. person, an English-speaking person, an Afrikaans-speaking mm-hmm. person. And we somehow made this work. And it's not by chance. It's because of our tumultuous history. Mm-hmm. It's because of our topsy-turvy heritage mm-hmm. that we have it in our blood to know that, hey, man, I can actually hang out with Craig.
Right.
I can hang out with Temba.
Yeah.
And we could form a union that is not just beneficial for us as individuals, but it'll be beneficial for generations to come.
Right.
And how can you not be optimistic about that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. And joyful and hopeful and, mm. and triumphant and victorious. Because my goodness, it is a victory, isn't it?
It is.
It is a triumph.
It's a triumph of the human spirit.
It is.
And it really is. I am reluctant to say that South Africans are specifically special in comparison to the rest of the world. Yeah. But as a proud South African, mm. I have to say that.
You do. Well, we've certainly dealt with more than almost every other country in history has done. And we certainly, when it comes to heritage, I mean, I don't think there's a more diverse country in the world.
Mm-mm.
I don't think there's a country that has as many different cultures and heritages as we do.
Mm.
And I think having learned to embrace the commonality of our heritage, that does make us special.
Mm.
That really does. And having put aside all the traumas and the hurts and the maliciousness of the past, to some degree. I mean, there's still many, many wounds that we're working through and
for
need
sure.
to work through. I mean, that's real. I mean, these things are not just erased. They're intergenerational and they take a long time. But having dealt with all of that, we really do have something to be proud of.
Yeah, and look, it's progress is a process.
Yeah, it is.
It's. Yeah. I am by no means saying we've reached the dream. I think that's the great thing about ideals.
Yeah.
They're there as a point yep. that we can aim towards. The main mission is for us to, in fact, the glory is in the attempt.
Yes.
Not the achievement of it. That's what ideals are there for.
And the goal, the mm-hmm. fact that you're aiming high, that
right.
you're pressing towards something that is worthy,
mm.
Bringing your best every day and growing in that best.
Right. I mean, a lot of us have this revisionist view of history where just because the people that came up with some of the notions that we live by were perhaps not the greatest character human beings that we've seen does not mean that they were off the mark.
No.
It's just that they fell short of the ideal.
Correct.
Which is where we pick up the baton
yeah.
and strive to get even closer to the ideal.
And also learn from history so that we don't repeat it. Mm. I think that's so crucial. And I think this is a big part of heritage. Unless we see the shortcomings of our ancestors and mm. where they messed up, we're going to repeat that, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're going to, and as we said, every one of our ancestors did mess up. You know, they were flawed human beings.
Right.
And that baton is so important for us to pick up. But without learning from mistakes and building on what was done right, we're destined to repeat it, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And, you know, I take note of very perhaps odd mm-hmm. things, but the name Palesa
mm-hmm.
means flower in Sesotho mm-hmm. languages. But it's not surprising when you bump into a Palesa Ndlovu, Ndlovu Zulu.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a new phenomenon. You can search as far back as you want. I actually want to reference the show that you did regarding love.
Right.
Love is the commonality that connects all of the cultures in this country.
Right.
It's not shocking to bump into Shoniseni Mulaudzi, which is a Tsonga name with a Venda surname.
Right.
for a Jack Motlanthe to be alive, mm-hmm. right? That is a very English name
right.
with a Pedi surname.
It's love that merged the two.
It is love yeah. that merged those two things.
Yes, yes.
And I don't care who you are, mm. but if two souls are destined to mm-hmm. be together, there's nothing mm-hmm. you can do to split them apart. Yeah. And we will continuously get Jack Motlanthes mm-hmm. and Pumudzo Wilson.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that is going to continuously happen because whether we like it or not, we interact with one another on a day-to-day we basis. Do. And damn the news reports mm-hmm. and all of this stuff. But day-to-day, we are making this heritage have a extra layer, a beautiful. New development. A new feel to where we come from and where we could possibly go.
And it's the heart that binds, eh? The That's human it. Heart. I mean, the Circe Retikom and Ruth, what a beautiful love story. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a Botswana guy went across the UK, fell in love with a British girl. I mean, the love affair was resisted from everybody pretty right. much. And yet they founded a new nation in many ways based on principles of non-racialism,
yeah.
which and it, it exists today, and it's beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, there are two words for me that we need to really focus on. One is humility, and one is pride, and they seem to be a contradiction, don't they?
Right,
but they're not. So we need to be able to have pride in who we are, pride in our identity, our heritage, our history, our culture, and yet humility at the same time to know that. There are many other cultures out there, many other people that are as equally important as mine. Mm. So we can combine pride in who I am, identity, but humility. Because I'm also cognizant of the fact that yours, that might be different to mine, I'm just using as an example, is equally important to mine. And if we can combine those two words, I think we can really get it right.
Yeah, it's you've mentioned it a couple of times that it's about seeing the good in another tribe and seeing the flaws in your own.
Correct.
That's where the humility shows up. But being able to see the good in someone else's tribe also kind of instructs how you see the good in yourself too.
Right.
Which is where the pride and the humility meet.
Yeah, work together.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
That is amazing, yeah.
That's probably a good note to end off, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have so much to celebrate. So much to be proud of. And so much to be humble about too. Because I need you, man. You need me. Well, man, maybe that's a good ending. Ubuntu. You know, tell us what Ubuntu means, Jax. You can probably do it better than me.
My understanding of Ubuntu is similar to my understanding of Namaste.
Mm-hmm.
The God in me bows to the God in you.
Right.
That's, it's an understanding that all of us have an intrinsic value. All of us are here for a purpose. There's no one greater purpose to the other.
Yeah.
And in order for me to achieve mine, I need to help achieve yours.
Right.
I think that is the bedrock of Ubuntu, being able to see not just the physical form that is Craig, but the ancestry that led to the point that I have Craig in front of me. Yeah. And once I see that, it's easier for me to come to your assistance or to even scold you when I realize you're not doing what your potential actually could be, you know? And I think that's what Ubuntu is about. It's about understanding our humanity, understanding our divinity, and speaking truth to that and understanding that we can do a lot more together than we could possibly do apart.
Fantastic. Love it. Love it. You know, I'll just end on this. I keep saying I'm going to end, but I do a lot of work with corporates. And we do a thing called Band of Brothers. And we get men in the organization to come together around how to be a good man, how to be a good ally to women. And one of the things I get the guys to do is to go away and develop their story. And then come and tell us their story. And I don't want to just know where you came from, what your language is, where you went to school. I want to know your deepest struggles, your anxieties, the things, you know, because embedded in every human being is a story, man, is an incredible story. And I say to the guys, I say, when we're hearing another man's story, it's a sacred space because that guy is sharing with us his deepest dreams, struggles, challenges, the things he's overcome. And I tell you what, Jack, when we do that, they're tears, man. They're tears. And there's respect. Because, you know, a guy who's born up in Sandton, you know, as a middle-class guy with every, you know, every privilege, will listen to the story of a guy who's brought up in a rural village who went to school with shoes, no shoes, and father was working on the mine, you know, and they just realize, wow, you know, I'm working with this guy and all I see is the end product. I don't see the incredible journey he's taken. And I think for us on Heritage Month, we need to do that. Look at another human being. That's really what you were saying too about Ubuntu, and see the incredible richness of their story and what got them to the point. You know, we can drive past a beggar or on the side of the road or see a drug addict, but we need to understand their history. What got them to that point? What got us to that point? You know, but for the grace of God, there go I. And everything I have, I've been blessed with, you know, whatever privileges I have. And I think that's key to Ubuntu, isn't it?
Yeah.
Acknowledging and seeing the other person as an equally valuable human being, and the journey they got to where they are and the journey you got to where you are, we've been blessed in many ways. And that's so important.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more.
Well, what a great discussion. We could go on for hours and hours and hours, but celebrate who you are and celebrate who your neighbor is. Celebrate who your brother, who your sister is. And as we celebrate our own history and the history of others, and we come together in a common bond of love, I tell you what, we can build a great future.